Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And this review is for Widows. And it's directed by Steve McQueen, which I'm actually surprised by.
Yes.
Yeah. And, so he did 12 Years a Slave. He also did Shame. But yeah, I'm surprised by that. It's written by Gillian Flynn, who wrote
Gone Girl.
Yeah. So she wrote Gone Girl, as Keith said. And it stars Viola Davis, which doesn't surprise me, Michelle Rodriguez, and Elizabeth Debicki. The synopsis is set in contemporary Chicago amid a time of turmoil. Four women with nothing to do in common except a debt left by their dead husbands' criminal activities to take their fate into their own hands and conspire to forge a future of their own terms. Can you go ahead and describe this movie? Is it like Set It Off or something like that? I don't know.
It is a lot like Set It Off in terms of empowered women against the men. But one of the key things about it was that it was shot in a way that showcased their grief. Just showed that these are women who were grieving for their husbands in certain respects, who were not perfect. A number of little subtle subtexts and stuff about their past lives and what was going on, especially with Viola Davis's character. There was also the political underpinnings of it, showing how politics were playing out in some of Chicago's districts in general. So there was a lot of little nuances in it. It's a criminal enterprise that was embedded in politics, which seems to be a theme with Chicago. Did a lot with that. In the end, it was a heist film where there was a heist and there was a number of tasks on that. But it seemed to be take a second stage at points to the whole political drama that was going on.
Quick question. Did you see Ocean's 8?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
The movie starts out showing that their husbands, well, in the aftermath of their deed, as they're trying to get away, they're killed in an explosion. And then from there, Viola Davis's character kind of takes center stage at that point where she's trying to pick up the pieces of what's going on. Then there is, who is that guy's name? He is in a ton of stuff.
Brian Tyree Henry.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of jumps in front and center. The interesting thing about this is that parts of this movie, had they taken these parts and elements and fleshed them out, they would have been a compelling movie. The characters themselves were like actually very well done. But basically, Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Jamal, he and his brother, his crazy ass brother, played by Daniel Kaluuya, drug dealers. He's trying to get into politics, and he sees it as a legitimate way of using his money and expanding his operations and doing it legitimately for higher gain. And he's going up against Colin Farrell's character, who is the son of a local politician, like third generation. And as that drama plays out, he's lost a lot of his political capital stolen by Liam Neeson's character. With him dead, he basically goes to Viola Davis's character and tells her, like, you've got to pay the debt, sell your stuff to pay me back for the money that your husband stole. And that's kind of where it picks up from there. Basically, she gets her hands on her husband's notebook, which has plans for another robbery. And that robbery is the heist that's going to take place. Number of twists and turns in it. So not to go into spoilers or anything like that.
How's the acting in the movie?
That was one of the pluses of the film. Acting was top notch. Like, there was enough meat on those characters. I think they could have made a whole movie about Jamal and Colin Farrell's character, their political contentiousness. That could have been a good thing because both of them were dirty, but dirty in different ways. And there was enough truth in what they were saying and honesty in what they were saying. Like one guy, Jamal, was just like he wanted to get in on the action too, but he also wanted to do it while elevating the black community in a righteous way. But he's a drug dealer and he kind of runs it like a criminal. And then there's Colin Farrell's character. He doesn't want anything to do with this mess. He's kind of be a pressure to it by his father. But at the same time, he has a bunch of ideas. He's going to do it. He wants to do it his way. But he would much rather go off and do something else with his life. And then you've got the widows themselves who, again, that's a whole other thing. It was like there was enough meat for every one of those characters that they put them together in this whole movie. It was compelling enough. And the acting was strong enough to support it. I think the only weak sauce actor in this was maybe Michelle Rodriguez in that short running girl. But even still, they were pretty decent. And I hate to be selling James. I saw the twist coming. like a mile away. But at the same time, when it happened, I was like, oh, okay. That just popped off right there. The way it was shot, I can't hate on it too much. But I think the biggest problem was that it was shot, I don't want to say too aggressively, but it was shot too artsy. If it had been focused more on the heist portion of it, I think it would have been a stronger film. If they had scaled back the heist, and not made it a heist at all, and just kind of made it that it was this political drama between Jamal and Jack, then, again, that would have been a stronger film in of itself. But when they kind of mashed everything together, I didn't feel like I got enough from what was going on with the crew and their family and their significant others and what was going on in their lives. You were given tastes of kind of individual stories, and put together, it was interesting enough. I like Daniel Kaluuya's character. I think if this had been like a 10-episode Netflix series, this would have been way better. 2 hours, you just can't get enough of what's going on. The reveal why Viola Davis was like that, why her and her husband were in the state that they were in, that's messed up, but I didn't get the emotional impact.
So what score would you give Widows?
I'd give it a 7.5, mainly because it was stylish enough and I enjoyed it enough and I enjoyed the individual elements. There were enough moments where I was like, damn, it's pretty cool. It's not his best film. 12 Years a Slave, sat there with my jaw dropped for like 2 hours.
Great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, and so music, everything. Couldn't believe what I was seeing, hearing. I'm like, this is amazing. And Viola Davis, she needs to break out of her range. I'm getting a little tired of her being the angry black woman. You know,
yeah, it's like her and Alfie Woodard play the same roles over and over again.
She's got to break out of that. Do something lighthearted or whatever. But this could have worked better as an action movie. Focused it more on the widows themselves. So I know he wanted to kind of flesh out the whole story, but there was too much attention diverted away from the actual widows who were actually pretty cool. All four of them were pretty awesome. It kind of felt like he was showing off, the director. Watch what I can do. I'm going to do a single take. You notice he did those single pan shots? I forget what they call it. You and James probably know the one.
What you're saying that technically the movie
was overdone. Take Heat, for instance, that Michael Mann film. That's what, almost 20 years old now?
Mm-hmm.
And how that film was shot. It was shot very simply, very with like angles and lines and just no panning, no anything like that. It was just simple shots that were just technically well done. In this case, he was, I won't say a lot of trick shots, but he had a lot of these panning shots that were just like, it's a bit too much, dude. Like, you can relax with that. But other than that, I mean, like I say, it's an enjoyable film. I thought it was good. There was enough moments in there. The acting was strong and solid. I liked the characters. And again, this would have done way better if it had been like a TV series or something so that he can have delved into those characters. 7.5.
All right. That's Beast Game Podcast.